This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
It's a privilege to do this, Grinches notwithstanding. I've called my message Revelation versus Religion, and I'm going to read from Proverbs 8. I get to speak from my ultimate favourite book of the Bible this morning, which is pretty cool. Proverbs 8 in the Passion Translation, 32 to 36, and it says, "So listen, my sons and daughters, to everything I tell you, for nothing will bring you more joy than following my ways. Listen to my counsel, for my instruction will enlighten you. You'll be wise not to ignore it. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for every day, joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I'll say. For the fountain of life pours into you every time that you find me. And this is the secret of growing in the delight and the favour of the Lord. But those who stumble and miss me will be sorry that they did. For ignoring what I have to say will bring harm to your own soul. And those who hate me are simply flirting with death." It's a powerful scripture. I love Proverbs. Even if I read no other passage of the Bible every day, I actually read Proverbs every single day. And I'm sure you guys, you're so intelligent. You've been alive, most of you, on the planet more than me. And you know that there's a proverb for every day of the month, which is pretty cool. So I love hanging out in there. And it's been a personal pursuit of mine the last, I'd say, 15 plus years to really go after wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God in all things. And the Bible says that the pursuit of wisdom, it's a really, really worthy thing. So Revelation versus Religion. I felt God gave me a revelation the past 2 weeks about revelation versus religion. And it came while I was listening to a podcast, and I heard him say to me in my spirit that information without impartation creates religion. And that really got to me. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is that? And he said to me, but information with impartation creates a revelation and a reformation. And I started to like think about this and dwell in that space. And I was just like, okay, God, so what's that for? What's that about? And I usually start with looking inward and going, okay, God, yeah, that resonates with my spirit. And I started writing it, journaling it and processing it. And It got to the point where it turned into a sermon. And I said to Jason, I think I need to bring this message. So I want you to know that I'm preaching this to me. You should never preach a sermon that you're not preaching to yourself. My mama, she taught me, don't point fingers. Because you got like three coming back at you. So I want you to know I'm not pointing fingers. But the Bible says, come, let us reason together. So I want us to reason together this morning. So God had started opening up things, and I started to write this down. And it got me thinking, what are we giving our time and our affection and our attention to? What gets our focus? Is it information, or is it truth and wisdom and understanding? Because I think we all know we're being bombarded on the daily with information and content of every kind, desperate to get our attention. There's so much noise in the world. And literally we see people, I don't know about you guys, I find it really disconcerting in my spirit. I'm driving in my car and I see people not able to walk down the street without doing this. And I freak out. I'm like, you are going to get hit by something. And I think this is part of the problem of this age. And I felt like God revealed to me a few years ago, and he said, this is the age of information. But it's not an age of revelation. And what is amazing to me is while information is so abundant, truth is scarce. How many know common sense ain't that common anymore? If I could bottle that thing, I think I'd be rich right now. Common sense isn't that common. This is an age of, where we're being bombarded by so many things. It's also an age of pretense and distance and disconnection, where it's about platform and position, things that have not been cultivated in relationship, accountability and connection. And I say this because we have a cancellation age, right? If we don't like something, I'm going to put the thumbs down on YouTube. I'm going to cancel them. I'm going to unsubscribe. We can shut down, and we have the capacity to do so because most people are on platforms. We can shut down anything or anyone we don't like or agree with. We can just dismiss it. That doesn't gel with me. I don't like it. It doesn't fit my narrative. It's not my truth. How many times have we heard this? When did truth become my truth? That's not my truth. Hang on a minute. That doesn't line up with scripture. Right? Truth's a person, but it isn't me. So there are these people daring to say things we don't like. And we call it, and we go, we justify our views because we say things like, well, that's hate speech. Well, how about it's just speech you hate? Right? Can just be speech we hate. When I feel uncomfortable, okay, let's be real, convicted, I can want to flip the script, flip it around. Find some reason as to why you don't get to say that to me today. And we can go for things like, well, they don't understand my circumstances. They don't know what I'm going through. Probably so. But the thing is, we make it about the person. We go, you're just a bad person for saying that. We go after hearts and motives when it's just something we don't like. And we feel free to judge others based on their humanness, their choices and behaviours, instead of actually, because God, the Bible says, we don't know the heart. Who knows the heart? God knows the heart. But I feel free to go, well, they said something hateful, so they are hateful. And how many know, like, we want people to judge us by our hearts and intentions, but we go, oh, no, I'm judging you based on something else. So I guess my question in that is, where's our capacity? I'm sure you guys know because you guys are so mature and awesome. That wonderful song, Deep and Wide. See, I've been in church a long time too. I think we're real. I love the words of that, right? Deep and wide, deep and wide. And I was like, God, we need to be deep and wide. Right? Problem with the Grinch, heart very, very small. Right? It says, I love Dr. Seuss. Oh, what a man. And it says, the problem with the Grinch was his heart was two sizes too small. He lacked capacity. He lacked perspective. And he saw things his way, his truth. So does truth have a place to land in our lives? How much room do we make for it? How much of our time and attention and affection gets put in that direction? Because the Bible says in Matthew 8:20 that the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. Think about it. If we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is wild, but if we are, and the Bible says there's no place, it says something to me about the capacity that we have, the room that we make, the choices that we're making. He wants to make our hearts his home. He wants to have a safe place to rest. Are we a safe place for the Holy Spirit to rest? My mind can't even comprehend that sometimes. How many of us think that we know what that looks like, what he sounds like, what his facial expression is? How many think that they can recognize his voice, recognize real truth? Because I'm here to say, in this season, at this time in history, the Pharisees thought so too. There they were, biblical scholars, knowing the word better than most people. And they would tell you so. What is it, 400 plus years that there was silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament? They were studying those words, looking and waiting for God. They had all the information and zero revelation. There they were, expecting. No, no, no. Santa's gonna make it to town. Santa, make a hurry, tell him he can take the freeway down. Run, run, Rudolph, I'm reeling like a merry-go-round. Said Santa to a boy child, what have you been longing? So sorry. Child wrangling, sorry.
Okay.
How many know God does things for us, not to us? This is for us, not to us. I choose not to be offended in Jesus' name. My first message in this house, I mean, what are you guys doing to me, right? It's not like there's not enough pressure here. Right, so there they were, right? 400 years of silence. Imagine that. It's crazy. We have Holy Spirit 24/7. There's nothing. 400 years of silence. There they were, having all the information. And they're expecting this king, right? They had an epic king-size bed already. Went down to 40 winks, got it sorted. And what does Jesus do? Rat bag, manger, prime accommodation. Not really. No king-size bed. What's my point? We easily miss truth. We put a frame around things. We go, this is how it's going to be. This is what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to present like. This is how it is. And here's what I know. I can easily swap going after truth and substitute it for information. And here but for the grace of God go I. I can miss what God's doing because I'm so caught up in picturing it a certain way. So truth is a person. And he longs to be desperately known by us. And this is what I've learned. I can read the Bible, but without Holy Spirit, I'm only going to be getting information. It's the difference between reading a biography and meeting the person. I can know about God, but I won't know him. And he's an intimate God, and he wants to know us intimately. And it's through that intimate connection that we will actually be transformed into his likeness. Because that impartation comes from that deep abiding in him, that real heart connection. And here's what's true. If we don't know him personally, then whatever information we have about God, without that real revelation and relationship, will actually just be religion. We will be a Pharisee and not a disciple or a son. It will create false doctrines in us, false images, and idols. And it's not that real connection. And we can often have a mindset where we become owners and not stewards. We create gods instead of just becoming godly. And it won't, from that place, we can't birth anything of him. We can't birth true kingdom, and we won't be building the kingdom of light. We'll be building the kingdom of darkness, whether we realize it or not. There's no Switzerland. And I think we all want to say, and I know I certainly do, that God can speak to me. He can absolutely speak to me between 9 to 5. I'm really open. My business hours are here. This is how it is. Turn up, Lord, on Sunday between 11 and, you know. But I also know that I often shut down how God wants to speak to me. Because it's not convenient. And because I often hear things I don't want to hear about myself. And I can mount a defense. I'm sure none of you are like this. You're much more mature than me. And I need the wisdom of this house. Need to learn some things. I can build a defense. I don't even have to think about it. I've convicted you, judged you, sentenced you in 0.2 seconds. But then it gets me thinking, what tree are we eating from? The because in Genesis it talks about that. Because it's entirely possible God's rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. We all have God-given gifts and we can use those gifts without him. I can use my discernment without grace or connection. But if I do, I will also be devoid of good fruit. So which tree is being fed on and tended and watered in your life? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life? One looks good, can seem right, but it actually leads to death. And the other tree leads to real life. How many know truth can come in uncomfortable, not very fun packages? Christmas. Gotta love those rallies. Fun at Christmas, right? How many know we're super good at giving ourselves license to dismiss things from people we don't have great connection with? We don't like the tone or a particular word that gets used. I do this. And here's why that's dangerous for our growth. Because if we can find a way to legalize our dysfunction and sin, it gets to stay. It gets my permission, your permission, to stay. This is how powerful we are. And then you know what happens, right? What is it about stuff in our lives? All the women can identify with me. You know that table, that desk, that bench in the house, that collection zone? It seems to attract the stuff. What is that? You know, you put your handbag there, all of a sudden the bills are piling up there, someone's jumper ends up there, drink bottles, it just attracts the junk. Same in our lives. When we give permission to dysfunction and sin, it attracts the junk. It attracts the demonic. And guess what? Then it makes itself nice and strong. Brings all its buddies. Goes, we can live here. It's awesome. And that's when it becomes a stronghold, a literal enemy encampment in our lives. Usually one we don't even know is there. How inconvenient. Why does the enemy want this? Why does he want our mind? Why does he want our thoughts? Why does he want our lives? Why is that so essential to him? Because thoughts turn into patterns, and patterns turn into behavior. And behavior is habitual, and it becomes a really big deal in our lives. Because like God, our words make worlds. And unlike us, Satan can make and create nothing. Nothing. Because he's not made in the image of God. And that's why he hates us. That's why his soul vendetta is your soul. It's why he seeks to make us pawns in his game. Because the only thing building the kingdom of darkness is God's kids. Let that sink in for a sec. They can make and create nothing. The only one building the kingdom of darkness is God's kids, sanctified and unsanctified. And whether we know it or not, because there's no Switzerland. It's why us going on a healing journey towards our full freedom is crucial. Why? Because salvation is a gift, 100%. But freedom and healing are a choice and a process. And our healing journey happens in good community, in family. I call it the sandpaper effect. It's where we rub up against each other's rough bits. The bits that quite literally grate against us. And that really hurts. Who's done their fingers on a grater? I have. And we get grated and it really rubs me up the wrong way. But then you know what? Something smooths out. We get soft. It's how our rough patches get smooth and bright and shiny. And And I like bright and shiny things. And this is why God made very important structures in the earth. Not government. Not schools. Not even universities. That's why he made family. To torture us. Happy Christmas. No, he did it to grow us. And to those who think it can just be you and God, I'm here to tell you, I can debunk that. No one can do life alone. No man is an island. You can be a peninsula. I am. I like water on three sides. And I sometimes think I can do it alone. I've been in the wilderness more times than I've been out of it. But let me tell you something, the last 3 years have taught me some stuff. I used to think if anyone could do life alone, it would be me. I'm really good at it. Because I can be a great human without the others. I can be an awesome human. God does not know how good of a kid I am. I'm such a good kid without my siblings and parents and stuff. But the last 3 years, 266 days alone, cut off without income, losing my business, nearly losing my house, losing my kid. Got pretty hopeless. And I was a prime target for the enemy to bring himself and all his mates. So when I say that I know now that I absolutely must keep connection, I mean it, because I know that I literally do not have a hope without help. Can I get an amen on that? Right? And in case you don't believe me, let me bring some truth here. The Bible says in Genesis, in the very beginning, funnily enough, that's what Genesis means, that it is not good for man to be alone. Something is not good. God said it was not good. And does he make good or bad things? So that to me, I don't know about you guys, that means to me that relationship is good. Would I be right? Deep connections with others is in fact good. And actually, men, until Eve got made, God said it wasn't very good. Why? Because we are wired and made for connection. It's in us, 100%. And because our human hearts are prone to sin and deception. Not because that's who we are in Christ, but because our old man likes to resurrect, right? And also because it's so often who we think we are. Or more to the point, who we behave like. And here's what I'm learning. If I don't choose to believe and trust in someone as much as I believe and trust in myself, I will absolutely be given to deception. Because heads up, we won't know what we don't know. Hence deception. It's a bit redundant, but there it is. And the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I need, and I think we all need, trusted people who love us and have fresh perspective to speak truth into our lives in both good and hard times. Why? Because Jesus isn't walking the planet. Bummer. But there it is. And truth will often come to us through lots of things, but mainly from other people. And heads up, it's going to come imperfectly. Just letting you all know. I know it's a downer, but there it is. It will come imperfectly. It will come inconveniently. Because Jesus isn't walking the planet. And even then, I think people thought he was quite inconvenient, to be honest. And Jesus isn't walking the planet, but Jason is. And there's nothing we can do about this. You know, people are imperfect and they will say inconvenient things. But as I said before, I think it's our job to be deep and wide, to have an ever-increasing capacity to have our hearts expanding, not shrinking. To have an ever-increasing capacity for truth and not just information. To be able to spot the specks of gold in the midst of the dirt of life. Because I think people think they're really clever for pointing out dirt. It's everywhere, yo. Literally. For pointing out the problems of life. No, you're not a genius for finding the problems. Everyone's talking about the problems. It's very exhausting. It's very hopeless. It's not very fun. You're a genius for spotting the good in the midst of a whole lot of things that are not good. You're a genius for bringing a solution to something that appears to have no solution. Where something seems to be impossible, you are a genius for making it possible. And I think it's time for us to train ourselves to see the gold. Become gold detectors. Everyone been to Sovereign Hill? Tell you what, that's where you'll find me. Panning for gold. And in the beginning when you pan, all you can see is the dirt until you get your eye in. And then you start to see the gold more than you see the dirt. And God is looking, I believe, for gold detectors. And we need to be so good at calling out the gold. Like Jesus at the woman, with the woman at the well. He there told her everything that she didn't like and was ashamed of about herself. And he did it in such a way that she was like, I'm bringing everyone I know to you. You keep telling me about me. And I've been thinking about this. We need to be so good at speaking truth that people warm to us. We need to be such a place, safe place for truth to land that people want to tell us lots of things. Think about what might have happened if the prodigal son had run into the judgy, critical piece of rock on the shoulder, older brother first. How would that have gone down? But see, I know I'm talking to mature people today, and I'm so glad. Because it takes so much maturity and perspective and wisdom and awesomeness to grow fruit and flowers out of the refuse and rubble and dirt of life. To deal with prodigals and adulterers and all the other poop that we can get handed. Huh, kind of sounds God like God with my life. I hand him a mess all the time. And he promises to make it beautiful. And guys, please know, I really understand that it is so easy to want to focus on the problem and not the solution. And I get that we all often want to shut down the messenger because sometimes we just don't like the message. But let's not do it because we owe the world Jesus. We owe the world Jesus. He's not here yet. Come, Lord. He's not here yet. And the world deserves Jesus and they get us. They get me. What kind of a deal is that? You get me, crazy people. Thank you very much for loving me. We owe them the Father. You are their encounter with God. Every day. Maybe their only encounter with God. And I want to see Jesus get his full reward. I want to see every kid of his in heaven with him one day. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Bible says. And I know my heart can get very confused. And it's why I've learned that getting as much truth and wisdom into me is vital. It's vital to our health and our well-being because if we don't have or fully believe truth about ourselves, I can guarantee you this, there is a lie in its place. And truth can come from many weird and wonderful forms. Anyone read their Bible recently? Balaam, anyone? He had to hear truth from an ass, a real ass. I mean, that is rough. Don't do that. Let's not have that repeat. You know, Don't go dismissing things because we don't like the vessel, yeah? The tone or the words. You know what? I actually love Balaam because when that man, courtesy of said ass kicking, got the memo, he said, "You will not hear words from me that don't come from God. I will not speak anything that doesn't come from God. I will not say or do anything he is not saying or doing." Who else said words like that? It's pretty cool, right? What's my point? If a message coming to you has the potential to grow you, increase you, deepen you, think about it. If a person coming to you is decent, has love for you, if they have permission to speak into your life, if they have a right heart, if they come with your best interests in heart and mind, and here's the difficult and mature part, and this is why I'm so glad I'm talking to you guys. The more mature and awesome part is that even if the person coming to you has none of these things, we can still listen and receive and acknowledge it. I've had to do this so many times with people who give me feedback that I don't like. I run a business, guess what? I get it a lot. Been in business 21 years, and we hear the things. And I still find it challenging, especially if I've got beliefs inside of me that don't line up with how God sees me. I can be prone to fear of man. I can be prone to falling into shame. I can be prone to falling into all kinds of toxic things that will then attract stuff I don't want in my life. But you know what I'm learning is it's far more loving towards me to receive the things I don't like, to potentially receive truth in that space, because it can change me as a person and I can heal and grow in it. And it's so much better than the ghosting of the world, this culture where we just disappear, where we don't engage, where we just simply remove ourselves from connection and people. So let's not rush to defend or excuse or justify ourselves. Don't do what I do and mount a defense. Let's take it all in. I always say we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Let's do twice as much of this as we do of this. Don't forget to take it to the Lord, 100%. Obviously, filter out the stuff. But ask him to reveal your heart to you. Reveal if you've taken on beliefs or an identity that don't belong to you, or if you have somehow resurrected your old man. Because here's some truth, that ain't going to work, and only death and decay will come from it. And the Bible says we'll be known by the company we keep. So who are we surrounding ourselves with? I got challenged in this recently where someone said to me, "Are you praying about the friends that you're cultivating in your life?" I was like, whoa, not in so many words. Not in so many ways am I doing that. Am I surrounding myself with people who are wise and challenge me? Are they gifted where I lack? Or are we surrounding by ourselves with people that we influence? People who can't challenge us. Because love looks like no, all the parents in the room, you feel me. Love looks like no. And if you don't believe me, ask God. He's said it to me a lot. So how many people do you have in your life who can tell you no and make it stick? This is something I need more of in my life. And it's why I'm so thankful to be part of this house and community, especially after my last season. To learn from wisdom and experience. It's such a valuable resource to learn from other people's experience, right? Like, why would I put myself through everything that you've gone through when I can just learn from you? That's invaluable. It saves me many a hard knock. And I'm so thankful because Anthony's brokenness is different to mine. He can be strong where I'm not, and vice versa. So do we have people in our lives good at living out the things that we aren't good at? I love the giftings in this house. I love Karen's love of scripture. I love Tracy's faithfulness. I love Dave Garen's servant heart. Melinda's warrior spirit. These are strengths that I'm cultivating in my life. These are plants in the garden of my life that I'm cultivating. Now, there's a few things I don't want you to hear me saying today. There are things I'm not saying in this message. Number one. This is not a license to go around spewing yucky things. I call it foot-in-mouth disease. I've had it quite a lot of times in my life. I'm very talented at getting one, if not both, feet in my mouth. And we all know what I'm talking about, those things that have bottled up. And it's just like, we go to someone and we say, I need to share my heart and feelings with you. When actually we're just spewing verbal vomit, let's be real. We're called to be unoffendable and to keep short accounts. So no, don't go saying yucky things and say that I told you so. Number two, this is not a license to gossip or to have a critical spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm not at all interested in hearing things from people too busy talking and not busy enough doing. And I've learnt that if you talk more than you live and you love and you work your faith out, I don't have a lot of time for that. So let's not sit and observe people who are going hard after God when they've made the occasional mistake and, you know, we get critical and we sit in that space. So let's not do that. Number three, this is a challenge for all of Australia, actually. It's something that I've really seen about Australia. Australia has a toxic lack of respect for people in high positions or places of influence and power. We don't do honour and submission to leadership very well. We have a real problem. We are very big on the tall poppy syndrome. If I see you getting big, I'm coming with a hatchet. We would do really well to learn from nations like Japan that are super honouring and respectful. We have a real lack of respect. Everything from our clothing choices to the words that we use to the way that we sit back and observe and judge, it's very much a part of the Australian way, and it's something I really want to see shift in this nation in order for us to be able to receive all that God has for us as a nation. How we receive something says more about us than it says about the one giving it. Our God-appointed leadership requires love, submission, honour, loyalty and respect. Doesn't mean we need to agree. Doesn't mean we need to like it. Doesn't mean we need to have a great opinion about a lot of the choices that get made. And I know our leaders can make it really easy. Dan Andrews, hello. They can make it so easy to criticise. And I don't know about you, I'm a fantastic backseat politician. I can hear a few news broadcasts and go, I could do better than you. I would be so much better at running Melbourne and Victoria than you. It's not okay. Why? Heavy is the crown. Heavy is the crown. Leadership isn't for the weak, it's for those who will risk everything to do what is asked and required of them. We need to come under authority, church. And if we're struggling to do so, it's time to look at that. What's going on there? If you can't submit to godly authority, then God cannot bless you and you are out of favour. You're out from his covering and it's a very unsafe and a very dangerous place to be. We need to examine our hearts in this, and I really believe this is a season of alignment. And I know that when things are out of alignment in my body, things just don't go well. There's pain and unnecessary hurt. And the fact is, there's a real struggle here, and there's a greater one that than there needs to be. We have free will. We have choice. If we don't like our government, we can leave. We have freedom in this nation still. We can get up and go. Leave the state, leave the country. It's the same with our schools, our jobs, our churches. No one's a victim. The other thing, and the part of it, there's real issues, 100%. And if you see that, you have the capacity to bring change. So go do that. But don't go doing it or think you're doing it by posting on social media and criticising someone instead of taking ownership and doing something about it yourself. So that's the stuff I'm not saying. Here's the stuff I am saying. Time to hoe our own row. I don't want to hear about how to drive from someone who doesn't have a license, who has no experience. So crack on with what you're called to be and do. I know for me, I have more than enough to get on with. So when I focus on that, I don't have time to point fingers because trust me, my junk is enough to recycle. But I am really interested in learning about driving from someone who's a NASCAR racer, someone who's never had an accident, someone who can handle gravel and four-wheel drive terrain with real ease and experience. I'm interested in hard-won, hard-learned lessons in loving and living like Jesus from those who have things I lack. I know I could look at you guys and get defensive and build a wall and be scared and think you'll expose me. Or I could see and receive the amazing opportunity in front of me, this God facet in front of me, this image of Him in the form of a person, this gift and grace in this person in front of me, that amazing truth and revelation encounter, that chance of impartation and instruction from someone whose battles I didn't fight, but whose spoils of war I get to receive. I don't know about you, but that to me sounds like a great deal. Who here likes a good deal? My dad is a secondhand car salesman. What can I say? I like a good deal. And this to me is infinitely superior. In a world that's selfless and grasping, it's an infinitely superior way of living. And it's this type of thinking and living that will change the world we live in. But here's what I do know. We cannot give what we do not have. Don't do an Ishmael. I've got a whole sermon on that and it's awesome. I'll share it sometime. Don't strive. God does not bless striving. We often try and put a frame around the promises of God. Abraham thought it's going to come this way. Because in his mind, his wife was old. There was no other way it was going to happen. And in all fairness to Sarah, she was old. But let's not do that. Don't try and limit what he was wanting to do or say. Be open to however it happens or comes. Even if that means pregnant at 100, ladies. Please, God, no. So in my opinion, the things that I'm talking about are impossible without some power and impartation. It will just be information. But I truly believe that this is a moment in time for us as a church in this season that we're entering into. And I know that the things I'm saying today are ridiculous without God. So if all you've heard me preach today was just a sermon, you're missing it, because this is about the capacity to bring solutions to the problems that we are facing in this season. And for me, this is a time to choose to embrace the opportunities and not to choose to ignore and be offended. To me, this is a chance to receive a fresh release of the Spirit in a new and powerful way, because in my experience, it's the only way. It's the only way I know that truly works to bring transformation to our broken, hurt world. Words make worlds, church, and we will either build darkness or we will build light, and our world needs us. It's time to heal, to get free, and to go give the supernatural encounters our world so desperately needs. And I love you guys enough to risk your offense with me to talk about this today, to try and bring truth and light to you guys today. So I just would like you to bow your heads and think as I ask some questions. Are there some things in us that we've, are there things that we've put in our life instead of truth? How much room do we have? How deep and wide are we? Have we been getting fed from the wrong tree? Are we harboring offense? Do we have a mess to clean up this Christmas season with friends or family? Have we judged people wrongly? Are we really excellent dirt detectors instead of gold detectors? Are there any areas that we are reluctant to let people know about or see or speak into? Are there things or situations that we are reaching for control in? Things we're trying to keep a handle on, things we're trying to keep a lid on, things we're trying to deal with in our own time, in our own way. I think these are the things that God wants to deal with today. And I want you to know that I am here to help facilitate this, and I know our leadership are too. I'm also here today to say that if there is any offences in this house, this is the time to deal with it. It's the end of the year and I like to clean my house out and do hard rubbish every year to go into every new year fresh. And I felt very strongly to bring this message so that we can clean our spiritual homes and this house all ready for the new year, the new season and the new thing Papa is doing. So I want to ask our leadership to come up and stand. And I'm going to ask that if you have any of those things, if any of those things come into your heart, just as you're examining your heart with Holy Spirit, if there's any pain or anger or judgment or any offense towards any of them for any reason, I want to tell you I get it. I do. I get it. But I want to let you know that the enemy can attack you in that space. And God can't bless you the way that he wants you. He cannot protect or help you. And he cannot reside in that space. And because it's given the enemy legal permission to torture you. I think it's time to rectify it. There's no need to go into long explanations about things, but I do want you to come if this is you this morning and to get it dealt with. It's my heart for every heart in this house to see you guys be all that you are called to be. There is so much in this house, such a wealth of maturity and knowledge and gifting and talent and awesomeness. Each one of you is a God facet, and I love it. God wants this for us because his word says that he disciplines those he loves, and we live in an increasingly loveless world. No one willing to invest. A world that is so checked out, so lifeless. A world where they are only looking out for themselves, and it's evident everywhere. Our governments and churches, our kids, and even the adults, we see it everywhere. We try and keep a safe distance from everyone and everything that scares or bothers us. I think as a church, as the bride of Christ, it's time to do the opposite. I think it's the time to get up close and personal. 'Tis the season. Because how many know that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family? I would have chosen different family. God should have consulted me on this. I definitely wouldn't have chosen the siblings that I have. Deafs wouldn't have chosen the parents that I have. And I'm sure they wouldn't have chosen me either. I am one heck of a package. I'm very sorry, /not sorry. But I'm here to say that I genuinely have love for each of you. And I desire the best for you. I'm here to empower you. I'm here to champion you. Because I want to see you slay the giants in your land. I want to see you leave a legacy that extends to multiple generations. And I love that. So what I'm saying is, if you have any icky thoughts or feelings about someone, either in this house or out of it, this is for you. So come up. It's time to clean up our messes so that God can use us the best way possible. If you have never had a Holy Spirit encounter, if you've never met truth personally, then this is for you too. If you have areas where you have got information and not truth, come up and we will pray for you. We want to pray and introduce you to real truth. I'm going to pray and then just come, okay? Father God, I just want to thank you for truth, for perfect truth in the form of Jesus. And Father God, we remember that at this season. Father God, I want to just pray for every life here, for every heart here, that you would expand us, that you would increase our capacity, that you would grow us in your likeness, Lord, that we would become deeper, wider, full of greater capacity and heart and love for all your kids, Lord. The ones stuck in the mess, the ones on their way out of it. Father God, that we would have time and space for the rough. Father God, the way they rub us up the wrong way, that we would see it as an opportunity and not an obstacle, Lord. That we would choose to actually be safe people that people can share things with, Father, and also be the kind of people that people want to tell things to, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for every life here, and I want to thank you for the work that you're doing, Lord, in this place and in each one of us. God, we submit our hearts to you now for you to examine us, Father. Your word says, search my heart, oh God, and know my thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in life everlasting. So just seek the Father, and if that's you this morning for any reason, just come and we would love to pray with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.